And welcome back to EasyNet. You know, as engineering inspectors and surveyors, safety is your bread and butter. But today we're diving into something really important.
Yeah.
The regulations that make lifting operations safer. Lawler.
You got it. And it's really more than just ticking boxes on a checklist.
Right.
Understanding Lawler is about protecting lives.
Absolutely.
And preventing those close calls.
Yes.
That could have been a whole lot worse.
Exactly. So let's break it down. We're talking about the lifting operations and lifting equipment regulations,
1998,
which came into effect on December the 5th, 1998.
Right.
And this is key for all of you EasyNet folks. It applies to all lifting equipment and workplaces across Great Britain.
And I mean all equipment. It's
yeah.
not just huge cranes. It's That's, those chains,
yeah.
the ropes, the slings, anything involved in a lifting operation.
That's a much wider scope
yeah.
than I think most people realize.
Definitely.
Think about it. A front end loader on a tractor, a bath hoist in a nursing home.
Right.
Even ropes used for climbing during work at height.
Uh-huh.
All fall under Lawler.
Exactly. Because Lawler is all about protecting everyone.
Yeah.
Potentially at risk from lifting operations.
Everyone. So employers.
Yes.
Employees.
Contractors.
Contractors, the public.
Yeah, anyone.
Now, important distinction here.
Okay.
Lawler doesn't cover unassisted manual handling.
Right.
It's specifically about equipment.
Uh-huh.
Assisted lifting.
Yeah. And this is where different people
yes.
have different responsibilities.
Exactly. And we call those
duty holders.
Duty holders.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah. we've got employers who provide lifting equipment.
Yep.
Self-employed individuals using it for their work.
Right.
And anyone controlling its use, even if they don't own it.
Yeah.
That's especially relevant for those of you overseeing projects
mm-hmm.
involving lifting.
And this is where things get really interesting, particularly with Regulation 4.
Yes.
Which focuses on strength. And stability.
Right.
There's a case study, I think, that highlights this perfectly.
Right.
It involves a stair lift.
Okay.
In a residential care home.
Okay. So safety is critical.
Absolutely critical.
In that environment.
Yeah.
Right. And in this case, the care homeowner wanted the stair lift track attached to the existing ornamental.
Oh, yeah.
Cast iron banisters.
I've seen those.
Probably thinking it would look.
Maybe it looks nicer.
Nicer. But.
Yeah.
This seemingly small detail. Could have been disastrous.
Oh, it could have been really bad because
yeah.
cast iron, while it looks strong,
it does,
is actually brittle
mm-hmm.
under stress. It can just shatter.
Wow.
Which could have led to the stairlift collapsing.
Oh, gosh.
And someone falling potentially fatally.
Goodness me.
Thankfully, the contractor refused and used steel anchor plates instead.
That really drives home the point about proper assessment.
Yeah.
And choosing the right materials for the job.
Uh-huh. You can't just assume that something that looks strong
right.
is actually up to the job.
Yeah, you've got to look beneath the surface.
And the consequences of overlooking strength and stability
yes.
can be absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
There's another case study.
Okay.
A crane collapse
Uh-oh.
On a public road.
Gosh.
That really illustrates this.
Okay, so tell me about this one.
So this involved a crawler crane.
Okay.
With a long job.
Right.
It collapsed due to a combination of factors.
Oh, wow.
Jerky movements.
Yeah.
Over travel. And this is the real kicker.
Okay.
Inadequate welds on a backstop.
It's amazing how those small welds.
It is, isn't it?
Can play such a significant role.
It really highlights the importance of understanding how things can fail.
Yes.
Fractures, wear fatigue.
Right.
And considering all those forces that might act on the equipment.
Yeah.
Not just the static weight of the load.
So it's like a chain reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where one weak link can bring the whole system down.
Exactly. And that brings us to another important question.
Okay.
What about when we use equipment for lifting tasks that it wasn't specifically designed for?
Right.
Especially when people are involved.
Yeah, because we see that quite often.
Oh, all the time.
Where equipment is sort of repurposed?
That's where Regulation 5 comes in.
Okay.
Focusing on lifting equipment specifically for lifting persons.
Mm, right.
We see this often, for instance, with a forklift truck
yeah.
being used with a makeshift platform
yes.
for stock checking.
You see those improvised setups
all the time.
All the time. Mm. But they're often lacking in secure attachments.
Mm.
Someone could easily fall from a height.
Absolutely. And there's a yeah. tragic case about lift surfing.
Lift surfing.
Where a child was fatally injured after gaining unauthorized access to a lift shaft.
Goodness me, that's awful.
It really emphasizes the need for proper access control, safety features, and education about the dangers of lifts.
A stark reminder that safety goes beyond the equipment itself.
It does.
It's about procedures.
Yeah.
Awareness and being vigilant.
Absolutely.
Speaking of awareness,
okay,
let's talk about Regulation 7. Which covers marking and identifying lifting equipment.
This is all about transparency.
Yes.
Making sure crucial information about the safe working load, or SWL, is clearly marked and readily available, especially for equipment with different configurations.
Sometimes the simplest things.
I know.
Can be the most dangerous.
They can.
There's a case study about a restaurant owner who wanted to use an existing dumbwaiter.
Oh, yeah.
To lift heavy stuff to the bar upstairs.
I just assumed.
They just assumed because it was there.
Yeah.
It must be okay.
Right.
Exactly. But there was no visible SWL marking.
Okay.
Thankfully, an inspector figured out the real SWL, which was much lower than what the owner needed.
That could have been bad.
Preventing a potential accident.
This case highlights three crucial things.
Okay.
First, knowing your equipment's capabilities.
Yes.
Second, seeking expert advice when needed.
Yeah.
And third, having proper inspection procedures.
Like the saying goes, measure twice, cut once.
Right.
But in this case, it's inspect thoroughly, lift safely.
Well put.
Now let's move on to actually operating lifting equipment.
Right.
Regulation 8 about organizing lifting operations.
This is where the theory meets the practice.
This regulation stresses proper planning.
Yes.
By a competent person.
But not just anyone.
Right.
Someone knowledgeable and experienced.
Absolutely. This planning needs to cover everything.
Everything.
From selecting the equipment and personnel to the safe execution of the operation.
And that safe execution means considering everything.
Yeah.
Visibility, the environment load, security, proximity hazards.
The whole picture.
The whole picture.
We have a dramatic case study showcasing what can go wrong.
Okay.
When planning and supervision are neglected.
Right.
An overloaded crane collapsed.
Oh, no.
On a construction site.
Gosh.
Dropping a massive bridge section.
Wow.
Near a busy road.
That's terrifying.
It is, and the crane operator didn't even know the load weight or the crane's limitations for that position.
Really?
And operating radius.
Oh, wow.
And although there was an automatic load indicator, it was either misunderstood or ignored.
Mm.
And to make matters worse, the vital safety charts were unreadable.
This really underscores the need for clear communication, proper training, and readily accessible information.
Yes, you can't just assume that people will figure it out on their own.
No, you can't. It's about creating a culture of safety.
Where everyone understands their role and the potential consequences of not following procedures.
Now, we are running a little short on time.
Okay.
But we need to at least touch upon Regulation 9.
All right.
Which is all about thorough examination and inspection.
Okay, so this is about ensuring ongoing safety.
It is.
Through regular thorough examinations.
Bias.
You guessed it.
I think I know where this is going.
A competent person.
A competent person.
And it's crucial to differentiate between those thorough examinations and those routine inspections.
Oh, okay.
Inspections are more frequent checks for those obvious issues.
Oh, okay.
While thorough examinations are much more in-depth.
Right. And these examinations should cover everything.
Yeah.
From wear and tear and malfunctioning safety devices.
Right.
To the equipment's overall integrity.
Absolutely.
Of course, keeping records.
Oh, definitely.
So these examinations and inspections is essential.
Essential.
Yeah.
Think of those thorough examinations as a full physical checkup for your lifting equipment.
Making sure everything's in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
And catching potential problems before they become major issues.
Exactly. And remember, these examinations should be carried out at specific intervals.
Yeah. Which depend on the type of equipment
and
how often it's being used.
So for anything lifting people.
Yeah.
Or those crucial accessories.
Right.
A thorough examination is needed at least every 6 months.
At least every 6 months. That's right.
Okay.
And for other lifting equipment, it's at least every 12 months.
Right.
Of course, if your risk assessment shows it's necessary, you can always do them more often.
And don't forget about those exceptional circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
That might require an unscheduled examination.
Things like a major incident.
Right.
Significant damage.
Yeah.
Or if the equipment's use changes in a way that could affect its safety.
So it's about being proactive and staying one step ahead.
Exactly.
Now, when we talk about thorough examinations,
yeah,
we need to understand the role of the competent person.
This isn't just anyone who knows how to use a wrench.
Right.
The competent person needs the knowledge,
oh,
the experience,
yeah,
and the independence to assess the equipment thoroughly and make those critical safety decisions.
So they need to be able to spot defects.
Right.
Understand what could happen because of them.
Yeah.
And decide what to do about it.
And that could mean anything from recommending repairs,
yeah,
or adjustments to taking the equipment out of service completely.
It's a big responsibility.
It is.
And employers need to choose those competent people.
Uh-huh.
Very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Now, the competent person,
yeah,
isn't just there to find faults.
What?
They also help develop and implement examination schemes.
These schemes are like roadmaps.
They are.
For the long-term safety of the lifting equipment.
They outline what needs inspecting,
right,
how often,
uh-huh,
and the criteria for deciding if the equipment is safe to use.
And these schemes should be customized for each piece of equipment.
They should.
How it's used and the environment it operates in.
It's definitely not one size fits all.
Right.
Equipment used in harsh environments.
Yeah.
Or for very heavy lifting. We'll probably need more frequent and thorough examinations.
Matching the inspection to the level of risk.
Exactly.
And we can't forget documentation.
Keeping detailed records of all of those examinations,
yeah,
inspections, and any repairs or adjustments is crucial.
These records prove you're complying with LOLR.
Right.
And they provide valuable information,
yeah,
about the equipment's history and how it's performing.
They can help spot recurring problems.
Okay.
Track maintenance costs.
Right.
And inform those examination schemes we talked about.
It's all about building a really solid safety management system.
It is.
Now, you've seen how important thorough examinations are.
Uh-huh.
But what does a competent person actually need to know,
yeah,
to do these properly?
That's a great question. And this is where your expertise,
okay,
as EasyNet inspectors is so valuable.
Right.
A competent person needs to assess not just the obvious wear and tear,
uh-huh,
but also the more subtle signs that something might fail.
So things like fatigue, stress points.
Yeah.
And how different materials behave under load.
Exactly. They also need to be familiar with the specific types of lifting equipment.
Oh.
Their common failure points.
Right.
And the relevant safety standards.
Thinking back to that crane collapse.
Yeah.
Would a competent person have noticed those bad welds?
Oh, absolutely. They would have known to check for those kinds of defects.
During an examination.
Yeah. Particularly in key areas like the backstop.
Yeah.
They would have also looked at the crane's documentation.
Okay.
The original design calculations and previous inspection reports.
So it's more than just a visual check.
It is.
It's about understanding the history of the equipment.
Right.
And spotting patterns or trends.
And that's why having a solid record-keeping system,
yes,
is so important.
Those records can reveal potential problems.
They can.
Before they turn into major incidents.
Exactly.
And speaking of records,
yeah,
you mentioned earlier that documentation is key for showing you're complying with LOLR.
Yep.
What specific records should EasyNet members be keeping?
You'll want detailed records of all those thorough examinations and, mm-hmm, inspections,
right,
including the date who did the examination and any defects found.
Right.
You also need records of any repairs or adjustments made to the equipment.
Right.
And the dates of any load tests.
What about those examination schemes?
Oh, yeah. Debbie.
Should those be documented, too?
Absolutely. Your examination scheme should be a written document.
Right.
Outlining the requirements,
okay,
for each piece of lifting equipment.
Right.
It should detail the type of examination,
yeah,
how often they need to be done, and the criteria for deciding if it's safe to use.
So it's like a customized maintenance plan.
It is.
For each piece of equipment,
yeah,
tailored to its specific risks and usage patterns.
Precisely. Having that documented scheme ensures compliance with LOLR.
Okay.
And it shows your clients and the authorities that you're serious about safety.
Now, we've covered a lot about the technical side of LOLR.
We have.
But what about the human element?
Oh, that's important.
What can EasyNet members do to promote a culture of safety?
Yeah.
In their organizations and on the sites they oversee?
That's a great point. Safety isn't just about checking boxes.
No.
It's about creating an environment where everyone understands the importance,
yes,
of following procedures,
uh-huh,
and feels comfortable speaking up,
yeah,
if they see something unsafe.
So it's about communication.
It is.
That's Shannon.
And sharing responsibility,
yeah,
for safety. EasyNet members can really influence safety culture.
Oh.
They can educate their clients about lower.
Okay.
Push for proper training for operators.
Uh-huh.
And lead by example.
Right.
By always prioritizing safety in their own work.
Which brings us back to your question from earlier.
Oh, yeah.
What are the top three things you'd emphasize in training for new lifting equipment operators?
First, understanding the equipment's capabilities and limitations.
Okay, so knowing what it can and cannot do.
They need to know the safe working load,
uh-huh.
the operating radius, and any specific safety features.
Okay.
They also need to know the dangers of overloading.
Right.
Going past the operating radius or using the equipment for things it wasn't designed for.
Respect the equipment.
Exactly. Sorry. Use it safely. Second is communication.
Right.
Lifting often involves multiple people, and everyone needs to be on the same page.
Okay.
Operators need to communicate clearly with their supervisors, signalers, and anyone nearby.
Breaking down those silos and making safety a team effort.
Precisely, and finally, vigilance and attention to detail.
Okay.
Operators need to be aware of their surroundings,
right.
looking out for potential hazards,
yeah.
and being ready to stop if anything seems unsafe.
Okay.
They also need to do thorough pre-use checks
right.
of the equipment,
yeah.
looking for any damage or wear and tear.
Being proactive and taking personal responsibility for safety.
Exactly. Safety is everyone's responsibility from the top down.
Well said. And I think that's a perfect point.
Yeah.
To wrap up this part of our Lawler deep dive.
We've gone through the regulations.
Yeah.
Looked at real world cases.
Yeah.
And dug into the role of the competent person.
Right.
But most importantly, we've highlighted the human side of safety.
Yes.
The need for communication training and a shared commitment.
Well, salute it,
to keeping people safe.
Now, EasyNet listeners,
yeah.
it's your turn.
Right.
Take what you've learned
yeah.
and use it in your own work. Share these insights with colleagues.
Right.
Advocate for safer practices
yeah.
and keep learning about these vital regulations. Remember, Lawler isn't just a set of rules.
No.
It's a roadmap to a safer working environment for everyone.
Exactly.
And as engineering inspectors and surveyors,
mm-hmm.
you EasyNet folks have a vital role to play in making that happen.
Yeah, we do.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up,
okay.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about those exceptional circumstances.
Yeah.
That might require an unscheduled, thorough examination of lifting equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some more specific examples of what might trigger that?
Sure. Imagine a scenario where a piece of lifting equipment has been involved in a near miss.
Yeah.
Even if there wasn't any visible damage.
Right.
It's crucial to have a competent person examine it to ensure there are no underlying issues.
Uh-huh.
That could lead to a more serious incident further down the line.
So it's like a precautionary checkup.
It is.
After a potential health scare.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Another example could be if the environment where the equipment operates changes significantly.
Okay.
Say a crane that was previously used indoors is now being used outdoors.
Right.
In a coastal area.
Yeah.
Exposed to salt spray.
Okay.
That change in environment could accelerate corrosion.
Right.
And require more frequent inspections
mm-hmm.
or even modifications to protect the equipment.
That's a great point. It's about adapting to the specific conditions.
Yeah.
And not assuming that a one-size-fits-all approach will work.
Absolutely. And then there's the issue of modifications or repairs to the equipment itself.
Right.
Anytime a significant modification or repair is carried out.
Yes.
A thorough examination should be conducted afterward
right.
to ensure that those changes haven't compromised the equipment's integrity.
That's a good reminder for all of us in the field.
Yeah.
It's easy to focus on the initial repair or modification,
uh-huh.
but we need to remember the follow-up examination is just as important.
It's all about maintaining that chain of safety.
Yes.
And ensuring that every step from planning to operation to maintenance
right.
is carried out with due diligence.
Well said. Now, we've talked a lot about the importance of the competent person in all of this.
We have.
But where can EasyNet members go to find qualified and experienced competent persons
yeah.
to carry out these thorough examinations?
Right.
Are there specific certifications or accreditations to look for?
That's a key question. You
yeah.
want to make sure they have the right expertise?
Right.
There are reputable organizations like LEA,
okay.
the Lifting Equipment Engineers Association,
right.
that provide training and accreditation for lifting equipment engineers and inspectors.
Uh-huh.
Look for individuals or companies
right.
that hold those certifications.
That's good advice for our listeners.
Yeah.
Look for those credentials.
Oh.
Check references. and make sure the competent person you choose has experience with the specific types of lifting equipment you need inspected.
Absolutely. And don't hesitate to ask questions and get clarification on anything you're unsure about.
Okay.
Remember, you're the one responsible for ensuring the safety of the lifting operations you oversee.
Absolutely.
So you need to have confidence in the people you're working with.
We've covered so much ground, the regulations themselves, the importance of thorough examinations and inspections, the role of the competent person, and even how to create a culture of safety around lifting operations.
It's been a real pleasure sharing these insights with the EasyNet community.
It has.
Remember, safety is an ongoing journey, not a destination. Keep learning, keep sharing, and keep those lifting operations safe.
Couldn't say it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into LILR. Until next time, stay safe out there, EasyNetters.